your voice or anything like that, you feel a little like, oh, what the fuck have I just said? And why the fuck am I saying that?
Yeah.
And like, oh, yeah. So I want to know from an outsider's perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well,
yeah, why wouldn't you treat?
I like weird shit. Let's be honest. I love weird things. I've always loved weird shit. I'm not into the whole norm of anything. So that right there, I love the weirdness of it. And then at first, I just listened before I'd even looked at any of your work. I just listened to his podcast with you, and I liked the way you spoke. Like, you were legitimate 100% yourself. You weren't trying, you know, like if you listen to a lot of people in general, when they're in front of a camera, in front of a microphone, they put on a facade, you know, they're trying to act proper and all this type of stuff, say the right words. And you're like, fuck that. This is my thoughts. This is me, you know?
Yeah.
So the honesty, no, that's definitely true,
man. Yeah, the honesty, the authenticity as well.
Yes,
I get it, man. Yeah,
so that got me from there, and then I pulled up your art pieces and I was like, holy shit, this guy had to try. So
this guy's
got something. So like, I looked you up on Instagram and I didn't think at all I was going to get a reply from you, but we started talking, and me and John stayed in touch. I talk to John every day just about. But yeah, like, I had to at least ask, because me and John were wondering, hey, man, I wonder if he does prints. And finally asked you, and sure enough, boom, you do prints. So I got mine, and John's going to get his at some point, I'm sure. But yeah, your shit's just great. I just love the way you go about it, the way you present yourself. You're honest from the get-go, and it's just fucking, it's phenomenal. I love every second of it.
Thank you, man. Thank you, bro. I love you too, man. I love you too.
Oh.
I wish my girlfriend said such nice things about me.
Well, so what have you been up to today? It's I know it's nighttime for you.
So what did I do today, man? So I start painting at around 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. And I end up wrapping up at around 6 a.m. or 5 or 6 a.m. So that's what I do, you know, everyone's silent, there's nobody knocking on my door.
Yeah.
And while the dogs are barking, I mean, I like to paint at that time. So that's what I did. And then after that, I woke up at around 3 p.m. And when I wake up, man, I just fucking look for cigarettes, dude. Where the fuck is that? And the second I find one is when my day starts. I don't know yoga and shit like that. But yeah, man. Yeah. So I get my cigarette up. I have a couple of, say a green tea with honey or something like that.
Yeah.
And I start my day, man. My day actually starts, and I'm tired till around 12 p.m. or 12 a.m. Yeah. Sorry, my bad. I'm tired till 12 a.m. And then when I really am in front of my canvas is when I wake up.
I got you. So, I listened to John's episode with you again to try and get a grasp of, I didn't want to rehash the same questions that he asked you. But it's been a while since you spoke with him. And one of the things that caught me, that intrigued me from the start of his episode, is he asked you about basically your feelings on the art you do. And you mentioned that you were kind of not necessarily getting bored with it, but it seemed like you were falling out of love in a sense. Like it became too much of work. So I want to know if that's changed. It seems like that's changed. I hope that's changed, and that you've, I guess, reignited the passion.
No, I did I say that? Fuck, I don't remember, man. Maybe I was in maybe I was in that mood at that time, you know. Maybe I was, yeah. But since I've been painting a lot these days, I am back to where I find exactly the type of who I am while I paint. So I mean at that time maybe so I was when I did this interview with John, I was in my farmhouse in Lonavala, which is in the countryside, 2 hours away from Mumbai. So and what I've understood from this is that I need people around me when I want to paint. And due to COVID, I have nothing. You know, I have a little bit, but I need to stretch them out. I need to get more out of them. I can't have a daily, hello, good morning, yes, what do you eat for dinner? No, I can't do that. I can't paint fucking, like eggs and curry or the kitchen that I see every day. I can't do that. So I need to pull out more. So in Lonavala, I was isolated for a couple of months when I was there and I had that interview. But now I'm back to normal and I feel like I need, I paint noise. I don't paint music. I was, yeah. Like I said, I must have said this earlier also. So I was in a lot of beauty and I like to keep that beauty with me. And when I have noise around me, I like to take it out. I like to get that reflected off me so that I am at peace by myself.
Yeah, that is another thing that definitely intrigued me since me and you have been going back and forth is your paintings, your art, your sketches, very chaotic, right? Very out there, very wild. My wife says it's nightmares. The sketch here, I can't have in the bedroom. She says it'll like bring us nightmares and whatnot.
Fuck, I'm sorry, man.
I'm not
Fuck.
either. I love it.
I'm a
But
nice guy with nice dimples, man. I'm a cute man, dude. Don't
right,
worry about
see? Exactly. Dimples,
it.
yes. But one of the things that intrigued me is while your art is one way, the music you listen to is very calming, very soothing. So I wanted to know, because she mentioned nightmares. Is your imagination what you see? Like, do you have nightmares and it's kind of evolved into like you'll see figures kind of like your art.
Man, I can't, I wouldn't see if I was, if I paint at night so that I am more in my subconscious, right? If I was in the day, I am very aware of what is happening. Okay, I am aware, but I am also not aware and I am in a sleepy mode. So yes, that your what your wife has said is very true, because I don't sleep in the right time and I don't get enough sleep is why I am so subconsciously moved by what is happening in my mind. So if you see any, like I've seen this about Dali, and if I was going through his documentary, and he said that he used to paint while and he used to get up in the middle of the night and paint so that he could paint his dreams. He could be in more in a subconscious state, right? So I mean, yeah, man. So women are always right, dude. What else can I say?
Right? You're not lying there, that's for sure. So you paint to calm yourself and I guess get the visions out. With like if you're walking down the road or walking through the streets of Mumbai or wherever, do you see something and do you like paint mental sketches of what you're gonna do when you get home?
No, so what I believe in is a moment of when I do my work. I wouldn't gather my past. If I want to do something, yes, I might do it on the road somewhere, but I would never get that sketch and get it in onto the painting that I'm going to do at night. You know, my life has changed to where I was in the day and now where I am at night. I want to make a moment with my painting. I don't want to take a moment and make it my painting.
Okay, I got you. You
Yeah.
mentioned as well how you can paint waterfalls and all that normal, what I guess a majority of people would call art and paint, right? The beauty. But you'd like to keep that to yourself, right? You don't really exhibit that. So do you actually have stuff like that?
I mean, I do. No, I don't have stuff like that. I have obviously in the start of painting. So it all started when I was 18 years old. It was never a thing when I was a child. So when you start painting, you always reflect on what is on the internet first. So yes. If you go to Google and if you start typing painting or you know for to mm-hmm. copy something, you always get portraits and like you know black and white, some of the you know
how the do sunrise you call it, right? and the sunset, same, yeah. mountains.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So of course I've done that. Of course. So mm-hmm. and then when you go to college, you know when you go to art school, as I joined, you start mm-hmm. from scratch basically, mm-hmm. and then there is no tweak in the art the way they want to teach you how to communicate. Yeah. So it's always like maybe if I wanted to draw a ear, you know, of a man that mm-hmm. felt like an embryo or you know anything like if you see whatever you want to see, if you start doing that, they'll be like, "What are you doing, man? Like, this is not what you're here for. What are you doing?" There is no, there needs to be a certain kind of process where people learn how to make other people creative. And that is when I stopped. I stopped my phones. I gave my phones to my parents. I didn't have anything for 3.5 years. I had no contact with all of my friends. They could call my parents if they wanted to get in touch with me. So only because I don't get influenced.
I got you.
So what So 3.5 years, I didn't have any phone, nothing, no internet. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then that is when I really took to my point and I started having my own style. If I can call it my own style, maybe people will still refer it to other things. But, you know, I mean, that's human nature, right? There are alphabets from A to F. Yeah. There are do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. You can't go beyond that. You will be in the same circumference or whatever at the end of the day. But you need to understand where exactly, and you need to be satisfied with what you do. If you want to do shit, you can do shit and be satisfied by it. But if you really want to like be unique and do something that is created through the canvas and not through what's happened and what your internet is showing you. And if you, so Picasso has said this quote called great artists don't copy. Great artists don't copy, they steal, something like that, right?
Yes. I remember something like that.
Yeah, and people have taken it to another dimension, saying that, oh man, I copied it, but instead of the moon, I put a sun. That means that I didn't copy, I stole it. What Picasso is really trying to say is, in looking at something, you know, look at how you would look at that thing.
Yeah.
You steal from everywhere, man. You steal from all around the world, dude. And like the only thing is that you need to steal in a way that is bound to be natural towards you.
I can listen to you all day. I'll just say that right now. No, I can listen to you all day. but that's another thing that made me laugh, and I told my wife it before we got on today. Is you spoke when you were talking with John about one of your art teachers, he gave you an assignment and said, draw what you feel, your interpretation of the world. And you did that and he failed you. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, this is what you asked for.
Exactly. I wasn't like, what the fuck? Because I knew this is going to happen. But I'm like, that's the first time I ever followed something a teacher said. He said, do whatever you want. I did it. And I feel that's the thing, man. That is, I was never good academically. I was good at, so when you used to get the class newspapers, I used to draw a little bit on it. Yeah. And other than that, man, the schooling system or anything like that, they should start having a class called Life. And I wish I could take it.
So when you were growing up then, before, you know, painting, artistry, sketching, anything was ever in your mind, what did you want to do if you had to say?
Man, you know, people have a lot of dreams as children, man.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be happy, dude. Like, I shouldn't want to, like, you know, okay, let me just get it out. I mean, I haven't had the best childhood, but, you know, in the circumference of a child wanting to do something, I just wanted everything around me and every person around me to be happy.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted. So when I can think of something, yes, maybe I had a thought that I would become an astronaut, but that's bullshit, because every child wants to become a fucking astronaut, right?
Yes.
So that was just also following the crowd in what I would want to be even at that time. So, and yeah. I never thought it was possible. And then after that, man, there was, I was just so involved in family life that I didn't really give a fuck about what is going to happen to me. I just wanted to, like, I don't know, be happy, man.
If you don't mind me getting a little personal here, because your family's, you come from a pretty prominent family over there in India, right? Would you say that part of the reason for just wanting to be happy, because I know your dad pushed you, or he loved your art. He pushed you to follow it because he liked it. So that's awesome right there. He saw you had a talent. He wanted you to follow it, and now you're in love with it. But would you say, like, before, like, you were probably more geared, like, they wanted you to go through the family business because your dad's an actor, your mother's an actor. So would you say, like, they were kind of gearing, when you were younger anyway, before 18, that you were gearing, they were trying to push you more towards that, or?
No, they weren't trying to push me towards anything. In fact, I mean, whenever I used to come home saying I failed or anything like that, they never used to make it a big deal. So what happens is, I used to love to study till the third or fourth, fifth standard. Okay. After that, it just started getting so monotonous and life just started getting so boring. Yes. And, you know, I needed to enjoy myself, man. I was like, what is happening? Right. And I'd rather stare at a girl across the classroom. I mean, I'm not being, you know, who's pretty, then fuck, look at this teacher who's teaching us shit that I don't give a fuck about, man. And so, yeah, man. So, and then I used to start, you know, scribbling on a piece of paper or something like that, man. And no, man, never pressure from my parents to do something they wanted me to do. But I mean, of course, every parent gives a lot of, you know, they have a lot of concerns about their children's career.
Yeah.
And artists, of course, not the best career to take, especially with what is happening around in the world right now. But when people like you or people, you know, who are more established, who are people who have more money or whatever it is, man, or who have more, you know, if they call your parents and they tell you how good I am, you know, it reaches to them.
Yes.
You know, if a normal, and that's what's been happening with me. So I've been very lucky in that sense, that out of the blue, my parents get calls and say, they tell them that I am really good. Don't let him stop. I remember when I couldn't sell a painting when I was 19, 20 or whatever, I couldn't sell a painting, and someone called my dad and said, listen, you need to buy all his paintings because you can't let this boy stop.
Yeah. If I had your parents' number, I would call them up right after. I would call them up right now.
Oh, for sure, man. I'll make you talk to my daddy. Love you.
But that's awesome. I do love that. Because I think even sometimes with me, with this podcast I do, I get in a rut sometimes, you know. And I'm like, should I keep going? Should I stop? And then either I'll talk to my wife or I'll have a guest that just like, this is why I do it, you know. And definitely getting this and just wanting to get you on as early as I could to talk about this, because I wanted our episode to be the first one where I put this up, and it actually turned out to be that, so I'm grateful of that.
Thank you.
But in terms of the art as well, especially when you started out, and I'm sure you get it, because I can't draw for shit. I'm not artistic
I can't, man.
You're phenomenal. But did it hurt you? Because I'm sure there were, because art critics sometimes are assholes, like the ones who, like, that's their profession, right? Of an art critic that go around the galleries and all that kind of crap. Did it sting when you would have someone look at, you know, something you put a lot of effort into and something that you enjoyed and you liked, and they said, oh, that's crap or all that shit?
Nah, man. So, I mean, as if I can say, as a failure in school, man, you know, you get judged a lot.
Yeah.
Right. So you need to gather that strength from when you are young. Mm-hmm. So when you have that around you, and if you're getting, like, say, I in math, I got around 3 on 100. Right.
Oh yeah,
I knew how to make I knew how to make fun of myself, dude.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, now I am so self-aware about how good I am, how bad I am, what people are doing, what people aren't doing, because of those 3.5 years that I had without any internet, without any connections, right? But you have to put yourself in a space where you are going to understand what is true and not true. You can't be out in the world saying that, oh, fuck, you know, you can't be watching a billion things and saying, okay, I was different from that. You have to, you have to be in a bubble, then break your bubble. That's what I think.
I think I understand that, because I know with me, like throughout school, I did okay. Like, I only did enough to pass because, like you, I was bored with it. So I never pushed myself. I did enough to graduate, and that was about it. And like, if you ask my wife, I have a pretty strong ego. I'm very egotistical, but I also know when I fuck up. You know, like if I make a mistake, I'm cool with it. I can admit to it. But if you ask me how I think about myself, I think very highly of myself. which I think is fine, and it's a healthy habit to have, as long as you're aware where your faults are and you admit to your mistakes. I feel you can have the biggest ego in the world as long as you admit when you make a mistake, because if you don't do that, that's when you become a narcissist and you don't believe in real shit. So I still want to ask you, one thing I want to know is, if you look at the art scene today, like around the world, you know, I don't even know how many genres of art, you know, like I wouldn't even know really what to call yours besides badass and awesome. And it's something, right? But there's a whole lot that, like, there's modern art shit. Yeah. I don't even know, but is there some art? Because I know I'll look at some art pieces that, like, hit the news, and I'm like, how the fuck is that art? You know what I'm saying? Like
the book, 100%, you know, man.
Yeah, so I want to pull up, if you don't mind, I want to get your thoughts on some pieces that...
So, man, all I can say as humbly, with my ego in place as well, saying that I have no intellect to understand that shit. That's it. Yeah, that's it, dude. Like, I don't want to say that, oh, how the fuck is that art? Yeah. But I want to say that, all I can say from myself, from my perception of it, is that I have no intellect to understand that. That's
fair. I think that's fair, and that's honest. Because, yeah, like, I'll look at stuff and I won't get it, but then I can look at yours and I have some understanding of it. So that's fair. I think that's okay. I'm okay with that. Because, like, you sent me, like, 5 or maybe 7 different paintings of yours. And they were all different. A lot of them was very, you know, scratchy looking, very eclectic. Yeah. And you had some colors. But this one stuck out to me. And because one of the things I like about how you describe your art is you don't name really any pieces, right?
I don't, yeah.
But so for me, and I think I mentioned it to you, I love, like, pizza. I have a pizza tattoo. I have pizza shirts.
Fuck, I'm looking at pizza now.
Right? So when I see that, I see this is me with a pizza, and you see this guy's bone sticking out.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing it as I'm fighting off this guy trying to steal my pizza. That is me. That is 100% me. And
so I did have a fight about food with my girlfriend, and then I painted this. So yes, man.
Boom.
So that is grated cheese, though. So we were fighting on something where I had to do something to, like, I think I had to grate the cheese or something, and I didn't do it. Or something like that, and I went to the... And that this is exactly what I'm talking about. I needed something out of... So we were living together during COVID.
Yeah.
And It was just me and her, man, for like 3.5 months. And I needed something out of it, you know. I really, and this is my painting that I made after, I think, 1 month that really caught on. So all of it is mostly scribbles. And suddenly, in a moment of anger, you look at your canvas and you start seeing these figures fighting with each other. And you just pick up the brush and in 1 second, it's just done, dude.
Exactly.
And when she saw this, she stopped fighting with me. Which is the most beautiful part. The second she saw that I made this in, I think it took like 5 minutes because there was already a lot of scribbles around.
Yeah.
You know, everything was really, it was, if you see the painting, everything was made already. It was just that I made the background. Mm-hmm. The background is the gray and I did the, say, crimson red, which is at the back of the people. And then I just made the foot. I just put some blocks on the, like, toes or whatever. And it just happened, man. And she was so amazed by it. She's like, fuck it, dude. I'm not fighting with you after this. Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. And I know I asked you that one time about any other avenues of artistry that you've dabbled in. Like, I asked you about sculpture or, like, any type of clay stuff. Is that something, because I think you said you played with it a little bit, is that something you feel you might like do more in the future? Because I'm curious at seeing your sketches and your paints, I'm curious as to what that would turn out for you.
So I'll tell you a story. Okay, so I was stuck in Kashmir. You know, Kashmir is a place in India.
Okay.
And at that time there were floods in Kashmir. Okay. And floods till the level of 4 stories. Okay, 3 or 4 stories. Okay. And every house in Kashmir is 4 or 3 stories, nothing more than that. So we had to basically climb mountains, get out somehow, find a place there. And then there were lines and lines, you know. So there were helicopters who were going to come and evacuate us. Before that, there were lines. Lines, I mean, by 3 days to get to the spot where you needed to get out from. So in that sense, what happened was, that there was this kid and his parents told them that you are on a picnic. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, I was saying that, dude, I am stuck in such a place. I need to express myself. How do I do it? How am I supposed to do this, man? I have no paints, no canvas. I looked at the boy the next day, okay? The next day I looked at the boy, he found a piece of cardboard. Mm-hmm. He found a branch and he started spitting on the piece of cardboard and started scribbling. And started painting. And that was so inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to create, man, do the sculpting, watercolor, you know, paint or anything. An artist will create out of anything, man.
Yes.
And as Picasso has said again, is every child is an artist. And that is when I got to know that I need to start going back to life and becoming my child version again.
Yeah.
So that I can understand exactly what I want to do, how I want to do, no inhibitions at all. And that was very inspiring, man. That was one of the best moments that's one best moment. I wish I could capture that. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I get that because, like, I'll look at my son. I have a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
And when he was 2, maybe even 3, we'd be at a restaurant. They'd have, like, little blocks, right, for the kids to play with. And he'll put together this building, and I'm like, That like to me, right? Like it would just catch me off guard because he would do it in a way it looked so cool. And I'm like, you're 2 or 3. Like, how are you able to do this? And even now, like when he plays with Legos or he loves playing Minecraft, and he'll build some awesome houses, buildings, castles, you know. And I'm like, buddy, where did you figure that out? He's like, you know, he just starts doing it. And it's so cool to me I watch him build these things and like, he'll come to me, hey daddy, you know, do you want this kind of house, that kind of house? So I'm like, yeah, I want this kind of house. And, you know, 30 minutes later I have, you know, whatever that house is that I asked for.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. So cool. Yeah. It's just so awesome. So it's another personal question, but I'm curious specifically because of the type of art that you seem to do, I have to ask, do you do drugs?
No.
Okay. So you just have this.
So place. I drink for sure.
Yeah.
I smoke cigarettes, but I don't do any kind of drugs, man.
So you just, that's just your mind is just, it's already out there.
I don't need drugs, man.
Yeah. A lot of people look at me, whether it be for the, you know, the goatee or the way I act or something. They're like, do you do drugs? So I was like, no. Like, this I'm just naturally high as hell all the time. Yeah. Always out there, you know, doing or talking some kind of crazy shit. But have you ever, do you do like self-portraits or portraits of people? I know you said that's kind of how you started.
Yeah.
So is that something?
So I started painting because I fucking love Jennifer Aniston, man. I used to love her. Yeah, so I started trying to sketch her. Yes. So I started trying to sketch her, and it never came out to be Jennifer, but it always turned out into different shapes and figures. You know, her eyes became fish, her ears became butterflies, and suddenly I just started getting so involved that I said, "Oh fuck, I was trying to draw Jennifer. What happened here, man?" So big credit to Mrs. Jennifer Aniston, man. I would love to meet her sometime and give her a portrait.
That's cool. But, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how it really started, man. So yeah, man. So portraits I do for practice for sure.
Yeah.
And there is a time in life where sometimes you just try to be extremely. So this creative block is very true. Okay.
Yes.
And
yes.
When I started, I was like, okay, whatever. But you need to scribble yourself out of the block. Mm-hmm. You can't wait for your peak of imagination to come back.
Yeah.
You need to take out what you are feeling at that time. And if you are feeling a block, create a block, paint a block, scribble it out. You know, that's the only way it's going to leave you. So, and then I scribble. And then that's when a new piece comes out. So, thank you to Mrs. Jennifer Aniston for everything that she's done.
I'll agree with you on that one. Yeah, because in the interview with John, you did, you spoke about your writer, you know, the artist block, and you'll have your sketches are like 50-something% just scribbles. So when you're trying to fight through that block and trying to scribble it out, when you finally breach it, do you ever like go back to a scribble and let's say a day later or a week or a month later, and then you see something in that scribble?
Yeah. So what I do is most probably, I always go back to my scribbles to create something. Like this painting was kept behind you. That was a scribble kept. That was a scribble kept for about a week or two.
Yeah.
And then suddenly for 5 minutes, I got some inspiration from somewhere and it happened. So that happens very often.
Yeah, because I know I used to write a lot. I still kind of do. But I used to write a whole lot when I was in grade school, and I would write and I would, you know, get a writer's block. So I would stop. But a week or so later, I would figure out where I wanted to go. So I never threw that piece away. I always just kept it and just look at it every day and see if something comes back or I'm able to continue it. And usually I did. So I wanted to ask you about that for sure, because I didn't know if you were one of those like, crumple it up and throw it away types.
But throw it away, man. If that is what you feel, do whatever you feel. Yeah, man. Why not? Then you can open it up some other day. Don't throw it. Don't put it in the garbage if you want to do it. But like, it's always good to express yourself at the moment. If you're feeling frustration, is the only way to take it out is to take it out.
Okay. So then I would imagine that you probably... Do you work on multiple pieces at a time, or you just try and focus on one till it's done?
So what happens is that most of the time, man, my palette is what I really am doing. That's what I feel. Mm-hmm. Whatever I have done or whatever I'm doing right now is still consciously me. What I'm doing on the palette or what I'm doing across it. So I have my palette is my whole room. Okay. It is basically my whole room. So I just put it everywhere. So what is really happening is on the other side. This is still a facade of my work. Mm-hmm. So what is really happening is on the other side, which is obviously always repeated upon because it's a piece of wall or a desk or something like that. So you can't really make it art or anything like that. But I feel that is who I really am, and not my paintings also.
Yeah. I understand that. Do you ever, when you finish a piece, and let's say it's like hung somewhere, or someone buys it, do you ever look at it and then like see something you wish you could have added, or you just leave it be?
That has never happened to me, because I would never want to sell a work that I think is incomplete. That has never happened. Maybe right now, if I see it and say, oh, I should have done something to it. But whatever I've sold till date has never been wanted. Like, I've never wanted to change it till now.
Okay. Yeah. I got you. The John, speaking of John, shout out to John real quick. He wanted me to ask you about, and I think he mentioned it with you a little bit. He wanted to ask you about the art scene in Mumbai, right? Yeah. Or I guess India in general. And I was looking at some stuff before we got on, and you guys have this Project 88. Is that something you're aware of?
Yeah, Project 88 is basically, I think it's an art gallery. I'm not very aware of it, but yeah, somewhere or the other.
So do you, because I know you mentioned about, you felt there's a lot of culture in India, in Mumbai, but you kind of seemed to come off as you didn't feel there was a lot of art in Mumbai.
Yeah, I mean, you need to take art as, culture is beautifully there, but we are also westernizing ourselves. Mm-hmm. Right now, we are forgetting our roots. All we have is in India, all we have is who we were and who we are and our culture. So if that starts going, and if everyone starts fucking buying Gucci bags and, you know, Louis Vuitton and shit like that, dude, who are we? Yeah. If we're going to follow America, if we're going to follow whatever, you know, first world countries, who are we? There's nothing known about there are so many of my friends who just like talk about their bags and their wallets and their, you know, and it's pretty frustrating, man, at the end of the day. And like at least buy Indian products, you know, at the end of the day.
I got you. Because I know when I started doing this podcast and reaching out to people across the world, you know, I thought I had a general understanding of the world outside of America, because, you know, we do learn world history to an extent in school. But I realized when I had a previous episode with a young man from Lucknow in Uttar Pradesh, Umvesh Umapadhyay. Shout out to him. He's a brilliant, brilliant young kid. And in looking into that, I got upset that a lot of the stuff, like the culture, the structures, the buildings, you guys have incredibly ornate, intricate, superbly detailed temples and ruins, buildings from like way back in the day. And I remember looking at this stuff, and I got upset that I never learned about it when I was younger, right? I guess, you know, in the States, you know, we learned about obviously London and what's, you know, over in the UK, because that's where we came from and all that kind of stuff, and about their architecture and whatnot. But I'm looking at this stuff over there in India, and I'm like, this is so much better. This is so much incredibly intricate stuff that I don't even want to guess how many years some of the temples you guys have, and incredibly well preserved. Superbly well preserved, which also caught me off guard, because I figured, you know, throughout the years, you know, invasions, wars and whatnot, usually a lot of that stuff gets destroyed. And I'm sure that has been the case for some spots you guys have. But I definitely saw the culture and the ancient artistry, architecture. And I was blown. I'm still like, well, I'll look at stuff. I'm still blown away. Yeah. That's a thing over there, and it's uniquely Indian. It's very uniquely Indian, and even comes to your music. I've listened to some of the music, like some of the stuff, you know, me and you have sent to each other. Like, you can have it playing, and I'm like, I wonder if that's from India. Like, you have that flavor, I guess you can say, that Indian flavor that kind of just points directly to, that's probably coming from over there. So
yeah, that's very true, man. I would I that is the flavor I'm trying to find though. That is that flavor is what I'm trying to find in my art as well. It's not come yet, you know, the personal Indian flavor. I don't think it's come yet, but honestly, that is what I'm trying to find.
So you're still trying to evolve
Of
or
course, of course. Every
yes,
day,
yes.
man.
Have you
Every
looked
day.
at I know you said like when you sell a painting or something, it kind of hurts because it's one of your pieces. So it's you don't really have a favorite per se. If you get rid of anything, you'll miss it regardless. But do you look at some of your old stuff, like some of your finished pieces, and you not like it? Like at the time now you've matured to a point or your art has grown to a point where you're like, ah, that's
No,
not
for
actually
sure,
that
man.
good.
No, for sure. I paint. I do paint on a lot of my old works. I keep repainting and repainting and repainting. But I mean, that's when my father comes in and says that, you know, this obviously will have a certain kind of value, and it also, most importantly, shows your growth. Yeah, and you need to document your growth somewhere or the other. So do not keep doing that at the end of the day. I would love to change them. If I really get inspired by a piece and I know that I can create something so beautiful out of it, then I change it now. Other than that, if I, you know, if, portraits or any kind, every any kind of, you know, art that I did, even sculptings or whatever, sketches, I right now I'm leaving it at where they were and
Where
moving
they at?
on to new pieces. Yeah.
I understand. Well, Aditya, man, I've had an incredible time talking with you, and
Thank
I
you, man. You
one day
too.
I'm this wall.
Coming to India and sitting in my house and painting with me.
I would love to.
Yeah,
I would
bro.
love to. I can't draw or
Any
paint for shit, but
anytime, bro. Any
I
time,
would
man.
absolutely love to. Whenever we're able to travel again in the world, I would
Yeah.
absolutely love to. India is definitely a big step I wanna travel to with everything I've
Oh,
seen.
you asked to. I'm gonna. You come down to Mumbai and we'll travel together, man.
Sounds
I'll tell
great.
you that.
I absolutely love it.
Bro, I have made the best friends through travel in India, and there's beautiful people from all over the world. And you know, people who really want to look across and find themselves and take themselves out of their comfort zone come to India, you know, to travel alone. Yeah. And I'd
I
love to
can't
have
wait.
you over, man.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. I know eventually me and my wife are going to get a bigger house, and
Yeah.
I want to see. I got all this blank space. I got all this blank space.
I'm gonna send you one more,
I
man.
need an original, like big ass
Done.
something, and
Done, sir. 100%.
I can't wait, man. You keep up doing everything that you do. Don't stop.
Thank
Grow.
you, bro.
And definitely, if you ever get into like sculptures or like more so than paintings, sculptures, clay stuff, anything like that, I want one of those as well. I fucking love your work. I ain't gonna lie. I love your work. Your mind is very you. It's hard to describe. Besides chaotic, I like the
Yeah.
word chaotic, but it's controlled chaos, I guess I can say. Controlled
Yeah.
chaos. I'll stick with
I
that because it
guess.
comes out to something that I'm like, even the sketch right now, every time I look at it, I kind of see something new that I didn't see
Yeah.
before, you know? So even that, your pieces grow with me. But I love it. I hope you have yourself a good night. You're going to do some awesome badass painting here in like a few minutes, I'm sure. And man, I'll talk to you again sometime. Is there anything you want to promote? Anything you got, any show you got coming up? Anything?
No, man, I'm good, dude. And I just want to say thank you for, I mean, whatever you've done and like all these interviews or whatever that you're taking and from wherever you've come and like how you found me is incredible. And thank you to like just for you to appreciating my work, man.
Oh yes, I love it. Hopefully now more people are gonna see it. And somebody out there, get with him, buy some of his work. The fucking guy's amazing. The guy got some badass shit.
I
But
guess.
man, Aditi, you have yourself a good night over there. I appreciate you.
You too, man. Take care of yourself, bro. I love you and your family. Give them
All
my
right.
love.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No problem. You have a good one, man.
Yeah. And put my painting in your room, man. Then no nightmare is gonna come after that. Don't worry.
I'll try and sneak it in tonight. I'm held there. All right, man, you take care of yourself.
See you, buddy. Thank you.
No problem.
Good night.